Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we're very happy on this holiday. I guess it's a holiday for most folks in America that you're able to tune in and listen to some real estate, tax, and investment strategies, opportunities, etc. And just because you hear something that sounds good, please don't jump in. Go to your current advisors, tell them what you heard, and let them help you ascertain whether it makes sense for you in your own unique facts and circumstances, as opposed to someone else that might have joined in. But in any event, for those of you that don't have advisors, you're more than welcome to go to our website at beaplannershow.com, and if you'll go to the home page, just under the page header, you'll see some links, and the second one from the right side is forms, and if you'll go to that forms link and complete at least the first form, the client profile form, and then go ahead and click the rightmost link back on the home page and schedule a call. Be happy to spend some time with you and help you understand how we might sync up to help you achieve your retirement goals and objectives. And for those of you that are in your mid-50s or so and are struggling with amassing enough funds in your 401 or your IRAs to live another 30 years. That's about what the IRS thinks you're going to live to. The latest life expectancy tables have males living to 85, 86, and females 87, 88. That's a long time to have funds available to pay your bills, and depending on what you have those funds in, deal with what can be significant market fluctuations. And in any event, we like real estate, but it's not just about real estate. You know, you've got to consider the frequency that you need money. It's not just, oh, go put everything into a multifamily partnership that might have a 5 to 7 year hold, and maybe there won't be any distributions for a couple years while the rehab is being undertaken and your lead partner is trying to get the property leased back up at higher market level rents, presumably. And so you got to have some other resources to live on. And unfortunately, a multifamily apartment project is not like a monthly pension payment, at least not initially. It hopefully will be better than a monthly pension payment after you've been in it for a few years. I know I've been actively consulting as a tax CPA, a real estate tax CPA, in this asset space now since the early 2000s. So it's been a while. I've seen a lot of transactions. We review a lot of transactions in and around the country. And if you want someone that's independent, in other words, I'm not selling you an investment. I'm not recommending an investment. I'm not selling you to a membership to a master group that you will purchase investments or partnership interests from members within that group. Nothing wrong with any of that. I just want you to understand we come at it from a different perspective. We don't have a, quote, program. I get that question often. Well, what about your program? You know, how do y'all operate? Well, we're independent CPAs that happen to have a lot of clients that like to invest in real estate private partnership syndications, and so we've amassed a considerable knowledge base of how such partnerships operate, the private placement memorandums that are given to you to review, and the operating agreements that serve as the operations manual for the partnership. We understand what those documents mean, and most lay people do not, because you don't look at such documents often enough. If you did, you're probably just as smart as we are, but we've just been doing it longer, and we understand terminology, we understand the math that goes into these animals, and that's what we want to impart to you. We want to help you understand what you're signing up for, and so you don't have any rude surprises. Not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily guaranteed there won't be any. A lot of people didn't foresee cap rates, as an example, going up to, you know, 7.5% where they're at now. And a cap rate that goes up from 4 or 5% up into the 7% range, that threatens your prospect of getting your money back. If that transaction exits, in other words, if the lead partner were to decide to sell it, may not have a choice. He or she may be in a debt structure on a given property where they can't get a refinance done and they have to sell it, and in some cases you may not get your money back. And that's all part and parcel of looking at things on the front end, the projections, the pro forma information that you're given. And we look at that and help you understand what the sensitivities might be and give you information to go back to whoever is asking you to invest and ask some tough questions. And, you know, what's their plan if the train comes off the tracks? You know, who do they have lined up as a potential white knight, as the case may be, to help them hang on to the property? And it puts a real onus on doing business with lead partners that have some balance sheet strength and can weather the financial storms that are inevitable. It's cycles, it's cyclical. I can remember, you know, when you look at the office building market right now, Houston has the highest vacancy rate in the country. It's unbelievable. And I think back to the mid-80s when I started my CPA practice. It was horrific back then. Developers were committing suicide, literally. And, you know, I think back to all the, quote, see-through buildings that Houston had. They had, I don't know if they were the number one most vacant office market back in the 80s. They might have been. It wouldn't surprise me. But these things are cyclical. And, you know, the reason back then is different than the reason today. Nobody ever heard of co-working spaces or remote working technology back then. I mean, you're talking about a long time ago. And yet there's always something that is a threat. And if the syndicator or sponsor, lead partner, etc., has a certain depth when it comes to their own resources, that is the type of comfort you would seek if you're getting ready to hand somebody your hard-earned retirement wealth. And again, we don't sell, we don't promote, we don't refer or reference these, recommend these investment options, other than we do understand how to analyze, and we do understand that Historically, they've achieved an above average rate of return that if you're behind on your retirement wealth, you have to consider some of these alternative assets, because again, you've got a steep climb when you look at the next, again, to your mid-80s or late-80s, that you've got to come up with the income to live. And by the way, for those of you that are counting on Social Security to be that singular source, good luck with that. And if you will go to the BA Planner Show website and visit the news page, which is under the resource tab, if you look up at the top navigational area, I've got articles from earlier this week there on the site. You know, in the first, I don't know, 10 articles, you'll see several about the sad state of affairs when it comes to Social Security. Also got an article I just put up today about calculating taxes on Social Security benefits, and have a another article about appealing the IRMA premiums for Medicare Parts B and D. So we're looking at topics that should appeal to our older listeners, I guess, as your host ages. I'm 64 here in another 2 weeks, and I'm already thinking about this IRMA concept and Medicare, etc. And I've got another article on retiring abroad, five things to know about your money. And again, as your host continues to live overseas and fully intends at this point, with what's going on in America, I will visit America, but I'm, for the most part, planning on hanging out in a country that I'm not worried about hypersonic missiles dialing up my location or locations near me in the great country of America. It's really a shame what has transpired over the last few years, and I'm hoping come November we can have a change that will give us some much needed stability and hopefully some fear with other bad actors around the country or around the world that don't seem to have much fear with the current leadership that we have, and that's too bad. Anyway, we'll be talking about the articles that I just mentioned when we come back from our first break. Let's go ahead and take that break now, and again, we'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words. Better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. Here's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and big cheese. And there are many just like
with big dreams and faded cheeks.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And let's go to the news page once again. And speaking of how much money most Americans have in their 401ks, I just pressed upload on an article that was on CNBC.com yesterday, as a matter of fact, and this has an interesting metric that I want to share with you. Let me get this article up here. It says, how much money Americans in their 50s have in their 401ks is the title, and I'll just read a few passages here. Americans in their 50s are right around the corner from reaching retirement age, but don't have much saved up for their post-work years. By the time you reach your 50s, you should have around six times your salary saved for retirement, according to Fidelity Investments, the largest 401k provider in the U.S. If you earn around $100,000 annually, you'd ideally have $600,000 saved for retirement by the time you reach your 50s. I wonder how many of our listeners are in that range. I know we've got more than a few that are, but I also know we get an awful lot of prospects that come to us that have $200,000, $300,000, maybe $400,000, and they're knocking on 60's door. And I guess all I would tell you is you may be behind, but you're not unable to achieve a much higher number by the time you quit working for a paycheck, whenever that is. And I know that's different for a lot of folks, and some of us, including myself, may never quit working. I don't work for the paycheck as much as I do the satisfaction of achieving certain goals and objectives, primarily real estate related. And I take comfort in the thought that I do have real estate that's worth more money than I would ever amass in a 401k. It's not that it's not my style. It's just the way life turned out. I didn't, when I started investing in real estate, you couldn't put $70,000+ into a self-directed 401. I'm going to say that again. When I started investing in real estate 20 some odd years ago, there was no ability for you to contribute over $70,000 into a self-directed 401 trust or 401k, also known as a solo K. Solo K is the marketing term. That term does not appear in the Internal Revenue Code or regs, but that's what Fidelity and Schwab and anybody else calls it. And of course, they don't sell the type of solo K that will let you invest in things like real estate private partnerships. And so fortunately, there's other providers of the document stack, the prototype document stack that we utilize, that lets us help our clients adopt such a plan. You do have to have some self-employment income, which works well if you're like me as an accountant, or maybe you're a consultant, a doctor, a lawyer. You also need to be a sole proprietor, or you can hire your spouse, or you can have part-time employees. But a self-directed 401 trust is a single employee retirement plan per the IRS publication. I've forgotten the number. If you want that, shoot me a text. And by the way, you can connect with me here real time on the air at 713-581-0195. If you'll send a text again to 713-581-0195, I try to keep an eye out for the text coming in, and if it's something that I can at least acknowledge while we're on the air, I'll do that. Otherwise, I'll probably follow up with you when after the show or sometime here over the next week, but in any event. So let's keep going here. So by the time you reach your 50s, you should have around six times your annual salary in your 401. Again, $100,000 annual salary, that'd be about $600,000. However, many people in that age range, according to Fidelity, have less than half of that in their 401s. The median 401k account balance for Americans in their 50s is $60,900 as of the last quarter of 2023, per the Fidelity data provided to CNBC. The average account balance is $199,500, but a few larger account balances can skew the average to be higher. Here's how, and they show a chart that shows by age how much are in Americans' 401ks as of the end of last year. And for those in their 30s, the well, let's start with the 20s. 16,100. 30s is 51,700. The 40s is 115,800. And 50s is the 199,500. One reason people in their 50s tend to fall short with their retirement savings is because they didn't get to benefit from relatively recent changes to the 401k system, according to a retirement expert and author, Ann Lester. She wrote a book called Your Best Financial Life, Save Smart Now for the Future You Want. And I would suggest to you that you really have to consider some alternative investments to the stock market. The stock market, there's a more sensitive, the timing is much more sensitive than the real estate private partnership syndications involving multifamily. It's not that there's not fluctuations. There most certainly are with multifamily real estate, but they're much less frequent, and there's usually time to react a bit more quickly. And everybody needs a place to sleep at night. It's like, you know, we've been through some peaks and valleys, certainly, but the bottom line is it's a product that everyone effectively needs, must have. It's hard to have a family and have a place to sleep without having at least an apartment. I mean, that's kind of the starting point, and in some cases it may be the end point. I've got clients that are getting older, and the kids are out of the house, and now they want to experience perhaps a bit more culture, or maybe they're foodies, and they want to be where the cool restaurants are, and coincidentally, that's where some of the cool new apartments are. And I've got clients that are selling their McMansions out in Spring and Kingwood and West Houston, and they're moving back in to the city and living in some of the newer Class A apartments, or now with the new office to apartment conversion, the one going on there at the BP building, or the BP Tower, formerly BP Tower, I believe it's Eldridge. That's going to be a high-rise apartment complex. I believe they've already started that, and the pricing that was indicated in the article that I read, gee, it's probably been 6 months ago, it's on our site, said that the pricing would be about what the normal, you know, four-story new build Class A apartment would be. And so I don't know. I think that's probably going to be the first major experiment in the Houston market. So but back to this article, the good news is that among all of the age cohorts, people in their 50s have the highest savings rate, which is the percentage of your income allocated toward retirement savings. They put around 13% of their income toward retirement, inclusive of employer matches. Just shy of Fidelity's recommended 15%. But I'm telling you, folks, the stock market type investments are not going to be what gets you up to the level you need. And if you think that you've got, or you'll have $1 million by the time you retire, and you've got retirement covered, I'm going to suggest to you, you're not even close. And you know, you better be in the $2 to $3 million range if you want to be able to withstand a catastrophic health event. Long-term health care insurance is very expensive. There are other ways of getting long-term health care coverage without buying a long-term health care policy. You can buy a cash value policy, like an index universal life policy, where you can add a rider for little, if any, additional premium to get that coverage. Now, IUL policies are not inexpensive, but you're also getting a legacy benefit. In other words, the policy has a death benefit. And more importantly, you have the ability to borrow against the cash value as it amasses, and you're able to hit on all four cylinders: long-term health care coverage, or chronic illness, legacy, and being able to borrow against your fund. If you have questions about that, feel free to give us a call, and Dan or I, Dan DuBose, CPA, my associate, is actually the one that I would probably have discuss insurance. He is a licensed insurance party. He doesn't have an agency per se. He works conjunction with a financial planning group that offers those policies. You know, one thing you may want to consider too, they mention later in this article, couple things. Maybe you delay retiring by a few years to give you more years to put money from a paycheck into retirement accounts. Also gives you more time to invest in real estate private partnerships through your self-directed 401 trust, which allows you to put more than you might otherwise be able to at a big company plan. And And then another thing you might want to do is delay taking your Social Security. And I know not everybody can do all or any of the above, but hey, you got to get creative if you want to have choices as to the rest of your life. Let's see here. Let's go back and pick up another article or two before we take a break. Retiring abroad. This is a good article, and it happens to fit what I believe my circumstances are. I feel much more strongly today than I did several years ago that I would really prefer to stay here in Southeast Asia as I get older. The healthcare system here in Bangkok, where I'm at, is at least as good, if not better, as the U.S., and it's for sure a lot less expensive. That's definitely the case. Even without insurance, it's significantly less expensive than the U.S. But in any event, this article, which I believe is the second or third one down, let me look here real quick, third article down on the list, five things to know about your money if you want to retire abroad. And the subtitle there is, to prevent your retirement dream from becoming a nightmare, you should carefully consider the logistical and financial hurdles of retiring outside the U.S. And that's a true statement. And in my case, I didn't count on retiring here in Thailand. I'm married to a Thai lady. We have a son here, and I've said many times, if I wasn't married to a local, I don't think I care where the country is. I don't think I'd make it, because I don't pick up on things real quick. I got to see it a lot before I begin to understand the nuances. And in any event, this article, just pull a few passages here. The dream of retiring outside the U.S. is becoming a reality for more Americans, and I know I see it over here, tons of Americans over here. You may see your standard of living rise in a country like Norway or Iceland, or maybe you envision a healthier lifestyle in the warm and sunny climates of Costa Rica, Portugal, or Mexico. The reasons to retire abroad are as diverse as the destinations themselves. Social Security reported that nearly 450,000 individuals were receiving their benefits outside the U.S. This was as of 2021, making a notable increase from the 307,000 recipients in 2008. However, the actual number of retirees is likely higher. And I'm surprised these numbers, they seem low to me just based on what I see over here. It says, this suggests that a lot of Americans are choosing to spend their retirement years outside the U.S., seeking a life that might not be possible at home. However, embarking on such an adventure is not without its challenges. There are financial implications and logistical hurdles that have to be navigated carefully to avoid turning a dream retirement into a stressful ordeal. And they go down the list. I'm not going to get into detail on each of these, but setting up and maintaining your cash accounts, I guess, can be a challenge. It's not much of a challenge here in Bangkok. Of course, again, don't forget the benefit of being married to a local citizen. I tend to take some things for granted just because I'm not the one in our marriage that has to deal with it. My wife takes care of those endeavors, my visa, that sort of thing, the immigration end of it. Taxes, will moving to a cheaper country really save you money when you factor in taxes? It may or may not. I don't know that I would make a move. I can't think of any locale that I would move to just for the tax status. And that, you know, to me, that's like a byproduct because it can always change. And so I wouldn't count on it to make what should be realized is a major, you know, decision point in your life if you decide to leave the U.S. And, of course, you might do it like I did, where I would be traveling back and forth every other month or two. And then eventually COVID came, and it made me caught me over here, thankfully, which is where I'd rather be with my wife and son. And it's when I finally realized, hey, maybe this happened for a reason. And it was to enable me to really understand what it would be like to be here for a while. And I have to tell you, it made me realize that, hey, this is where I would prefer to be, given what I see going on back in the U.S. And, of course, that varies depending on where you're located. But in any event, and the taxes do have some synchronization. You know, I would suggest you really want to consider countries that have a tax treaty with the U.S. to allow you to dodge, you know, true double taxation. You know, with the tax treaties, typically we get foreign tax credits on our U.S. return. And unfortunately, the U.S. is one of the few countries, if not the only country, that taxes you on all of your income, no matter where it's earned and even whether it's repatriated back to the U.S. In any event, be prepared for different tax structures and even new ones. I know here in Thailand, we've got a new income tax that takes effect this year that will tax us on income earned in other countries. And I need to try to review the U.S. tax treaty and see how it is going to apply in this case. But in any event, I wouldn't let the taxes, if we've got a treaty as a U.S. citizen, there's a treaty with the country that you're interested in, I would tell you that you're probably on the right path. Let's see, third category is savings and investments. I'm not even sure that you need necessarily to change whoever you're using in the U.S. Many of the big firms have offices here, and I'm sure that's true many places you might choose to retire around the world. Your real estate decisions, choosing whether to buy or rent is something that involves more than just comparing costs and locations. I'll say I'm in a city of 14 million people, and it's very dynamic. It has many opportunities to buy or rent, and just like in Houston, Texas right now, or Dallas, assorted other markets in the U.S., it's still cheaper to rent than to own. There's no question. If you're interested in living somewhere like Houston, and you're not already in a home that you buy or you're buying, you're able to rent for roughly a fourth to a third of what the payment would be on a mortgage that you would have to pay for the equivalent property. And you'll get an amenity set in most cases that far exceeds what you could justify paying for, or maybe even qualify for, in terms of a place to live. But anyway, health care is the fifth category. It's a pivotal factor in the retirement abroad equation, especially given that medical costs often outpace core inflation in the U.S. This just depends on where you're at in the world. I'll tell you, Thailand is ahead of the U.S. in terms of quality. They're much less expensive, as I mentioned, and I suspect there's assorted other countries around the globe that could make that same proposition. But anyway, well, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our last break. We'll be back momentarily with the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I want to pivot for the moment, and let's talk about, for the first time in a while, a new apartment syndicated partnership opportunity. And in any event, the project that I'm going to talk about is a 506C offering only for accredited investors. And for those of you that have visited the Realty Mogul site, you'll find it out there. And this one looks familiar. I'm not sure. I just noticed it earlier today, and I thought, well, if it was out here before, I don't remember it having a two-year hold, and I'm really wondering if they haven't recast this from something that's been around earlier. But it's not a big transaction at all, or at least it doesn't appear. And you'll have to bear with me, because I just saw this short time before coming on the air, so I'm going to try to muddle my way through it. And this is 1980s vintage, which you can tell real easily just looking at the pictures. It's 176 units, so again, it's not big compared to a lot of other Austin properties, but when you look at some of the metrics, it, you know, it's what you would expect. I guess that's what I'm going to say for a nearly 40-year old building. That hurts to say that. I can remember those buildings. I had friends that were living in them when I was just wrapping up at University of Houston, early 80s, and you know, these look like similar construction to some of the ones that my friends were in. But in any event, let's see, I was looking for some discussion of the debt. Okay, here we go. Senior loan, the total all-in capital stack looks like it's about almost 29 million, 28,700 would be, or 28,670, I see it here. I just need to scroll up a little bit. The general partner equity is 565,000. The limited partners or passives are 5,074,000 dollars. The senior loans 23 million, and so it tells me that the syndicator is somebody that's got some substance to get a loan in this point in time on what I would call a probably a C minus type property, although the CapEx or the capital expenditure budget is only $4,800 a unit. That's not a heavy, heavy lift. The price per unit works out all in. It's on the acquisition now. This is the total capitalization. So presumably this includes the capital expenditure, $162,898 each. It's good old Austin pricing. Even now, that a property that's 40 plus years old can attract almost $163,000. Let's see, it's a Fannie Mae, it's an agency loan, permanent loan. The term is 10 years. That's what we used to think of as normal. A LTV, this is what's not normal. This is one of the things that jumped out at me that I thought, hey, this would be something to talk about. I don't know, maybe the borrower owns a bank somewhere, because the LTV, if this is correct, if this isn't a typo, is 91.2%. I haven't seen one of these type transactions since the 2004, 5, 6 time frame. This is amazing. Again, if this is correct, I've learned sometimes, even in this arena, that when it seems too good to be true, it is. But even the loan to cost is 80%, which is very high. The interest type is floating. So this is telling me it's a very credible buyer, and the bank or the lender is willing to play ball on these terms. You know, floating interest rate, so the lender's not going to get caught with rates going up higher without getting, and in fact, I see now where the more I read here, interest only period of 120 months. So the lender's making some money on this loan. Let's see, prepayment terms 1% prepayment premium. Extension requirements none. Non-recourse is the type of loan. And for those of you that are new to syndications, that's the kind of debt you want. I don't care what kind of real estate you're buying. You won't have much choice on a single-family rental home. But when you get into commercial real estate, you only want qualified non-recourse. You may or may not be able to get it if it's your first time to try to borrow money. And that's one big reason that participating as a passive in a multifamily partnership project makes so much sense. The syndicator, the sponsor, the lead partner, etc., they will be undertaking any type of guarantee. Usually there'll be some what we call key principal or folks that serve to guarantee the carve-outs. Is what the lending community refers to them as. And it's basically a scenario where if your bookkeeper absconds with the money, then the guarantors have to step up and make good on that loan. And so it's not the same as full recourse, where if for any reason you can't make your loan payment, in a full recourse scenario, a joint and several type recourse, those specified parties are liable to the extent of their personal assets even. So I'm going to tell you right now, anybody starts talking to you about participating in a transaction that's got recourse debt and you're being asked to shoulder some of that, turn and walk away. There's no reason to do it. That's how I mentioned the early 80s and the Houston real estate scene. And that's what happened. All the developers were personally at risk, full recourse for those loans back then to do the types of commercial real estate that were being done. Let me look here. I was going to mention off the top metrics. Target IRR is about 19%. The target average cash on cash is 2.1%. Now, it's just for 2 years. So an equity multiple of 1.41, which is, let me just check here, 1.41 up at 24. Yeah, that's a pretty healthy equity multiple. But it's just a 2 year hold period. But anyway, it's good to see some of these transactions coming back into the market, and hopefully we can start talking about one or two on each show. And anyway, I hear the music's coming. We're at the end of the show. Thank you so much. We look forward to speaking to you on Sunday at 7 a.m.
And join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.